So tonight, what we're going to do is we are going to talk about how we can tap for multiple issues at one time. The other really nice thing about the approach that we're going to use this evening is this is also an approach you can use if we're not tapping for a bunch of issues, but we're tapping for an issue that someone does not necessarily want to verbalize the details of when they are working with us. So it might be you working on your own and not wanting to get into all of the nitty-gritty and the details because it is something that is so big and overwhelming. Or this could be something when you are working with someone who does not feel comfortable sharing with you whatever they are experiencing. And so for me, the first time that I actually started using this approach, and it has been a really, really long time since I have been using this approach, but the first time I used this was exactly that, is I was working with someone who, because of the nature of what we were tapping on and because of the nature of how they were feeling at that particular time, they didn't feel particularly comfortable sharing and saying things out loud. So I just kind of created this or innovated this on the spot, which allowed myself to navigate this and work with them in a way that felt a little bit safer. So there's going to be a lot of applications for this as we kind of step into the tool set tonight. So why this particular approach works is kind of interesting. The first part of it is that there are a number of issues that we are carrying with us that we don't need to process or understand. Now, one of the reasons why tapping is such an effective tool is because of something that we call memory consolidation. And so what memory consolidation is the beliefs, the thoughts, the memories, the stuff that is in our subconscious mind that is informing everything that we are doing. When we access those things, it is exactly like opening a Word document that is an autosave. And so every single time we're deep inside of that, we're adding new information to it. I was actually recording a podcast this morning for something that has nothing to do with tapping, but I was talking about my journey to finding tapping and getting over my own social anxiety. And the reality is, with fear, is that I'm afraid that this is going to go badly. I notice and remember all of the things that have gone badly. Therefore, I give myself this micro dose of proof that things were going to go badly. Therefore, the fear grows in a small way. And so that's the reason why over time, a fear can go from something that is an annoyance to something that is getting in the way to something that is completely crippling because it's growing in that particular way. And so one of the reasons why tapping is such a powerful tool is while we are tapping, we're down-regulating the emotional response, which gives us access to those memories so that we can consciously and deliberately do the memory consolidation so we can create transformation to what is going on. If you're interested in this, I actually have a 45-minute conversation with Dr. David Feinstein on this. It's podcast episode 471 from sometime last year, where we did a really deep dive in this particular idea. But there are other things that we are carrying around. There are past memories, there are past traumas that simply got stuck in the body. You know, when we have an emotional response, the emotion comes up, biochemistry is created from that, and then the biochemistry is released and it's processed out of the body. And so one of the things that happens with our traumas is that it can get caught in our body. And that is the reason why it stays with us. But a number of those things are not things that impact our life in any particular way. So we're still carrying the biochemical signature in our system of these things. And so in a tool like this, it gives us the ability to simply bring them forward and process them without having to know the details of them because the details aren't useful. And we'll get into when the details are useful, how we identify that, and how we navigate that particular thing as we talk about the process tonight. The second thing is, and we talk about this all the time, the subconscious is a metaphor machine. It thinks in metaphors, it works in metaphors, and this is just one more way that we can leverage the metaphor. Because the subconscious mind works in metaphors, if we transform the metaphor, we transform the subconscious mind. And so it gives us this very creative shorthand for us to be able to step into doing this. Now, the tool that I'm going to share with you tonight, we can use this a number of ways. The first way is we can use it for an area of our life that needs attention. So what I could do is I could tap on a whole bunch of issues that are around self-esteem issues or body confidence issues or professional confidence issues. But I can think of the catch-all of that particular experience, and I can go at it in that specific way. The second way we can do it is just stuff that's just hanging around in the background. Like, we can have the intention of, I know there are memories and traumas and unprocessed things that are still inside of my system that are no longer useful. And since they're in the background, I'm going to put them into this process and clear them out so I don't have to carry them around anywhere. We can do it for an issue that's related to one particular relationship. You know, if we are in a circumstance where we have a family member, a coworker, someone from our past, that we have a significant number of memories that we would like to deal with, and if they're in a circumstance where they're super, super heavy and we don't want to go chapter and verse through all of those things, it gives us the ability to gather all of those up and do some work on it. And as a caveat to all of this, when I say do some work on it, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get it all and clear it all in the process, but we're going to get a good chunk of it as we navigate it in that particular way. We can also do it for issues related to a moment in time or an age. So, for example, what I could do is I could decide that, you know, when I was 13 years old, that was particularly rough. And so as I'm tuning into this particular moment, I can say, great, so what are all of the issues? And when we step into the tool set in a moment, what are all of the issues from that particular moment in time? I'm going to use it in that way. And so the reality is, any way that you want to bundle a piece of your experience, this particular tool is a gentle way to step into it. And so you can choose slices that are outside of this. You could say, you know, a particular area of your life. It could be, you know, all of my past romantic relationships that I still have hangups around, or all of my past professional relationships. But what we do is we can, however you want to draw the circle, big or small, this becomes a powerful way of us stepping into it. So the process itself is pretty straightforward. As always, we're going to be tapping the entire time as we're leading someone through this. Again, if it's comfortable, just to have them tapping on the collarbone as we're giving them instructions, or with each question and each instruction move from point to point. If you're doing this particular process on your own, again, whatever works most comfortably for you when you are tapping on your own. When I am tapping on my own, I have been tapping for so long that my fingers just naturally do the walking and I don't think about it, and they just go from place to place to place. Do it in the way that makes the most sense for you. Other times when I'm really overwhelmed, I just find my way to the collarbone, and that's the place that I live the entire time I'm doing it. So do it in the way that makes the most sense for you as you are navigating that. So the first thing that we're going to do as we start tapping is we are going to imagine a container of some sort that we are going to take all of these issues and put them into. And typically when I'm working with someone for the very first time or multiple times, I say, okay, I want you to imagine a container in front of you, and then I give them some examples. You know, it could be a large basket. It could be a jar. It could be a bowl. It could be a vase. It could be a hole in the ground. Now, I have a tendency to steer clear of a hole in the ground only because when we get into the ways that we respond to the stuff that is there, if we're using a hole in the ground and we have to move something somewhere else, then it makes it a slightly more complicated metaphor, but it isn't necessarily it. What is most important is that they are tuned into what is going on. Because in doing this one time, the person actually just created a giant sinkhole. And instead of putting something in it and processing it, as they were throwing the issues into the hole just gobbled them up and it just went away somewhere else. So a giant chasm or hole in the ground would work as well. As always, what I'm going to do is I am going to leverage the metaphor that they are bringing forward as we think about that particular thing. So after we have them imagine the container, or we do this inside of ourselves, for me, whenever I do this, this has a tendency to be beautiful, beautiful white bowls or beautiful, beautiful black stone bowls. But again, use whatever makes the most sense for you. Then what we're going to do is we're going to have them, or have ourselves, fill the container with the issues that we would like to tap on. And so when I'm giving this instruction, I'm going to say, okay, great. Now what I want you to do, so what we're going to do is we're going to be tapping on when you were 13 years old. What I want you to do is I want you to trust your subconscious mind, and I want you to take all of the issues that need some work and need some healing from that point, and I want you to put them in the bowl, and they might show up as stacks of paper, glass balls, little icons, rubbish and trash, or something else. And so what I'm doing is I'm just giving them a framework again of saying, these are all of the different ways it can show up. And, you know, if you've been with me in the past and we've talked about this sense of fairy tale physics, that oftentimes what we like to do is we like to give two standard answers and one wacky answer. So we're giving them permission to let their subconscious run wild. So for example, if I'm working with someone like, do you feel nervous? How do you feel nervous? Is it tightness in your chest? Is it butterflies in your stomach? Does it feel like your hair is on fire? Because by giving them a third example, my rule of three, I'm giving them permission not to do what they think they're supposed to do. I'm saying you can do anything you want. In this particular case, because we are doing something that they do not have a cultural norm or a cultural standard to, I don't feel like I need to go, as you imagine the issues in this giant container, it might be a stack of papers, a bunch of glass balls, or a pile of dead fish. Like, I don't have to give them something that is outside the realm of possibilities, because I don't feel as if, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't feel as if I'm going to have someone performing for me, trying to give me the right answer. If you are worried that that might be the case, feel free to give them some sort of wacky alternative as well that they can step into as a way of doing it. And if I'm working with someone and they feel comfortable, what I'm going to do, just so it's easier for me to guide them, when they create the container, I'm going to say, great, so what kind of container do you have? Just so I have a point of reference of what they're envisioning. The exact same thing here. You know, is it a stack of papers for each of the issues? Is it glass balls? Is it bubbles? Is it little icons representing the issue? Is it rubbish? Is it trash? Is it a combination of those? As the container fills up, what do you notice? Just again, so I'm getting some information as we're going through this process. And as they are doing this, I say, and give your subconscious permission to add all of the known, unknown, and hidden issues related to this. And we've talked about in previous classes before, like, I'm a really big fan of the known, the unknown, and the hidden. Because what we're doing then is we're giving the subconscious mind, again, in this wacky little metaphor that we're playing with, we're giving the subconscious mind permission to put things into it that we do not consciously have access to. Because one of the beauties of this particular process is we can clear things that we are carrying around and never know any of the details of that thing. We might just notice the lightness that comes from the other side of that particular release. So I'm doing this in two stages. Imagine the issues going into it in some form, going through the list. Let me know what it is. And as you do this, give your subconscious mind permission to put in all of the known, unknown, and hidden issues related to this. And the last thing I say is, as we're doing this, if the container is not big enough, you can grow the container so it's big enough to hold what is there, or you can bring in multiple other containers to hold what is going on. And I came to this particular case because I was doing this process with someone. I'm like, so what do you notice? And she's like, the container's overflowing. And there was this small sense of panic in her voice. I'm like, awesome. grow the container three times the size so it can hold it all. And you could just see her kind of relax a little bit. And I'm like, awesome. Now that it's three times the size, is it big enough to hold everything? Or do you even need to make it a little bit bigger? Or do we need to bring in a second one to be able to manage that? So again, what we're doing is, even when I'm doing this internally, it's really funny, as I do this, I will create, because I have a standard size bowl that I do this in my mind. And there are times where it overflows and it's overflowing. I'm like, oh yeah, grow the bowl. And so I need to even remind myself that this is a step in the process, that even when I do this internally, my bowl doesn't just magically start growing to hold everything that is inside of it. And if you want, in giving the instruction, you could even say that as you're filling it up, if it's getting full, it can just grow to fill whatever size it needs to. But just gently providing that piece of information so it's easier for them to recognize all of the stuff in a place to gather in front of them. Then after it is gathered, what we're going to do is we're going to give ourselves some permission phrases to be able to do something. And for those of you who are new and weren't with us last month, we spent a lot of time talking about this idea of permission, that I love the idea of giving my subconscious and myself permission to do something, because I'm not telling it to do it and I'm not saying it has to, but I'm saying you have permission to act in this particular way. And almost always the subconscious mind seizes on that as we're telling it to do it, but we're not forcing it to do it. So for me in this process, the permission statements are, I give my system permission to ask for exactly what it needs to transform. So I'm setting the table where I am not bringing an intention onto how the transformation is going to happen. Obviously, in a moment, when we get to the next step, we're going to talk about some possible recommendations for the metaphor, because we have some experience with this, but it's not something that's going to be mandatory. And again, when I'm doing this with a client after I have them envision this, I say, great, what I want you to do is tap on the side of the hand and just repeat after me. I give myself permission to act exactly what I need to transform. Tap on the chin. I give my system permission to release and heal these issues without knowing what they are. Now, this is particularly important for this particular procedure, because oftentimes our subconscious mind is afraid to heal something without learning the lesson why we are the way that we are. Because the subconscious mind's intention is, if I know why we are the way that we are, then I can be in a situation where I can prevent it in the future. So I don't want to heal this thing yet until I figure it out, because if I figure it out, I can take care of it in the future. Now, the reality is, particularly when we're dealing with stuff from very early age, we're never going to be in that circumstance ever again. I am never going to be a 3-year-old without agency, without words that are more than 1 and 2 syllables long ever again. And so I don't have to learn a lesson how to navigate something as a 3-year-old, because I'm not going to be in that space again. So I find this to be just one more way of loosening the subconscious's grip on these past traumas, because it is afraid to let them go, because it's afraid it's going to lose the lesson and we're going to have the same problem again. I give myself permission to put down the thoughts, tools, and memories that are no longer needed. If it needs to pick them back up again in the future, because they become useful again, I give myself permission to do that. And so the idea here is that I'm not banishing something. I'm just setting it down so I don't have to tune into it again. So I don't have to carry it with it and go it forward. If there is information my system needs me to know, I won't miss that information. And so again, this is the idea of giving ourselves permission to let it go, knowing that if we need to remember something, we can. Now, oftentimes when we are doing a process like this, memories are like little fragments of memories are going to pop into our head and come passing by. But just because a memory fragment comes passing by does not mean that I have to remember it. Sometimes what is happening is we're releasing something. It's almost like a soap bubble that's coming up and it goes, and it pops in front of us and it reveals what is on the inside. But that doesn't mean it's something that is important. It just means that as we were processing it, we heard it and we recognized it. Because of the way that this is set up, I have always felt confident in the fact that if there is a specific memory, a specific issue, or a specific something that we need to go after, when we get to the end of the process, the system is going to speak that loud and clear, or it's going to come back at a future time. So I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think doing this process is going to put us in a position where we are going to lose a lesson as we go through it. And I like stating it as an intention just to make sure me and my subconscious mind are on the same page as we navigate it in that particular way. Step four, ask the container what it needs to clear the issue. And this could be in multiple steps. And so I just say, great. So now that you have this thing here, how do we heal and transform? And I like using that vocabulary, heal and transform the stuff that is inside of your container. Do we need to remove it? Does it need to be burned away? Does energy need to be brought in some sort of light to transform it? Does a resource need to be brought to it? Or does it just simply need to be transformed on its own? Now, with each one of these things, like, trust your instinct, what do you imagine happens? What do we need to do? It's like, it needs to be removed. Awesome. How does it need to be removed? Does it need to be carried away? Is it going to float off on its own? And so we are then going to continue the metaphor in that particular way. Oh, it feels like it needs to be burned. Awesome. Do we light a fire? Do we bring a laser in? Do we shine a bunch of heat on it? What needs to happen? Do we pour acid on it? What needs to happen to be burned? So now that they've given us a little entry point into the type of metaphor that they would like to use for that transformation, then we just start eliciting information as we do that. Resource. What does the resource need? It needs peace. It needs calm. Awesome. How do we bring peace and calm? If they don't have an idea, when you think of peace, what color is the first color that comes to mind? Great. Blue. What color blue? Dark blue. Awesome. I want you to imagine this dark blue light pouring in, bringing that sense of peace as it transforms and it does what it needs to do. So again, we are gathering, we're giving them options, and we're gathering information from them to get an idea of the best way to navigate this and the best way to process this. Step five, give the system as much time as it needs. Sometimes this is something that's going to happen very, very quickly. Sometimes this is something that can unfold over the course of a number of minutes. And when that is happening, if you're comfortable, again, doing this on your own or working with someone else, just, you know, touching base with them every 20 or 30 seconds. Great. Tap on the chin. Is it still doing work? Does it need more time? If it does, great. Awesome. And then 10 or 15, 20 seconds. Great. Tap on the side of the eye. What do you notice now? And just gently just kind of walk through them in that particular way. Now, after the step that we are doing feels like it's come to completion, and the vocabulary I like to use is, let me know when this step has done as much as it can. It doesn't mean that we're done. It's just mean we're done with this particular step. Okay, great. I'm done. That's where we go. We see, is there anything left that is remaining that needs to be cleared? And then we ask, what else does this collection need to be removed? And we go back. Does it need to be burned? Does it need to be moved? Does it need light? Whatever. Because sometimes what happens is we might burn a bunch of it, then we need to carry away the ashes. It could be something that is the same. It could be something new. And basically all we're doing is we're just recursively going back to step four, and we're just working through the steps again and working through the steps again. Again, for those of you who are new to us, and I'm turning into Max Headroom, for those of you who are new to us, when we are, in just a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to have a printout of all of this with this instruction, so it's easier for you to follow along when you're doing it. Then the last step, after we've recursively gone through that as many times as we're going to go through it, what we then do is we just then spend some time tapping, thanking the system. I thank my system for holding on to what it thought was useful to keep me safe. I thank my system for being willing to heal and transform. I thank my system for always wanting best for me, even if it doesn't know how to provide the best for me. And then my favorite when I'm tapping, just thank you, thank you, thank you. And then that's the process. Then we take a deep breath, we come back, we open our eyes, and then we see where we are. Okay, before I do a demonstration of this, any questions or comments or concerns about that particular process, feel free to just unmute yourself. And if there are multiple people unmuting themselves, I will call on one of you. Jen.
Hi.
Hello. Do you have a question?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, great. Okay, I saw you'd unmuted yourself. I thought you were unmuting yourself to ask a question.
Oh, I'll mute myself again.
No worries. Awesome.
I can only stay for the first part.
Okay.
I'm going to come on Sunday, so I was just going to.
Awesome. Maybe great. I'll perfect.
On Sunday.
Cool. Any questions about that? It's a pretty simple process, but that doesn't mean that there aren't good questions to be had around it.
Yeah, Jane, can I just ask?
Yes, please.
So obviously, so you're tapping through that whole process of just while you're conversing with them, you're just continually, and they're just sort of following along. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in just a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate the way that I do that, where I do it kind of jumping all over the place. If that feels like it is one step too far and it's a little too confusing, then basically what I instruct people to do is with each question, each phrase, just go to the next natural tapping point that works for you and just let yourself do that. And if that is something that is even more complicated, then like just because they're so immersed in what's going on, I tap on your side of your hand, tap on your collarbone. Just pick a spot that's comfortable. And typically for me, if I'm going to have them stick on one point, it's one of those two points that this can become fatiguing if I'm doing one spot on my face for a long period of time or holding my arm up without moving it. Sometimes people's arms fatigue. I find that tapping here, because I'm laying my hand on my body, it's easy to stay there. And this is something that's easy to do. So that's typically what I'm doing when I'm navigating my way through with the different tapping points.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Awesome. Are the intentions almost like affirmations? I have a feeling that it's kind of a question of semantics and how we define affirmations and what that sort of thing is. For me, the thing that I find to be true is anytime I am speaking something that my internal system resonates with as I'm tapping, I'm getting a chance to amplify that. If I am saying anything that my subconscious mind disagrees with, the subconscious mind is going to speak the thing that is disagreeing to. And by tapping, what we're doing is we're down-regulating and we're getting a chance to tap on whatever that self-talk is that's going against the things that we are saying. And so I write the phrases when I'm doing a script like this in such a way is that I'm pretending that there is absolutely no resistance on a subconscious level. And if I could tell my heart, mind, and spirit things, I'm going to tell it the most pure, true things that I know about myself, the universe, love, and everything. And any resistance that comes counter to that, I'm working on it because what am I doing? I'm tapping as I'm doing that particular thing. And oftentimes we'll see these kind of like spikes of some emotion as there's resistance and then it goes down again. And then there's spikes and there's resistance. And the other thing is like, whenever I work with a client at the end of a round of tapping, the question I always ask is, what did you notice? And by asking the question, what did you notice? I'm giving them this really open-ended thing, which might be, oh my gosh, this memory came forward, or boy, I can feel this heat in my chest, or oh my gosh, it feels so much more peaceful. And so opening it in that open-ended way. And if they give me an answer that is about the positive stuff, I always say, great. We always notice the release first. What's the part that's still hanging around? And so if there is residual or there is resistance to any of those phrases that we tapped on, affirmation or otherwise, they're going to get a chance to speak that. And now that it's spoken, we can then go after it directly and work on that particular piece of it. So does that make sense as an approach to it? Good. Awesome. Great question. Other questions or other thoughts with this particular little process? Well, like I said, after I do the demo, I'm going to give you access to PDF with all of the script on it. So when you try it, you can try it out and take it with you and all of those good things that we're able to do. Is there someone, doesn't look like there's a question at this point, is there someone who'd like to give this a try this evening / this morning as our demonstration? And as we do this, you know, as we go through this particular thing, know that because we're sticking this stuff inside of a container, you don't have to share any details at all as we navigate our way through this particular one. Erica, I see you have unmuted yourself. Was that by intention or accident? That was intention?
I might as well. No one else. And actually, I came late, so I don't even know basically what it's about. So I'm a...
Awesome. Great. Okay, great. So what I want you to do is just tap the side of the hand, take a nice big deep breath for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I want you to do before we step into this is I want you to think of, we're going to tap on a whole bunch of issues all at once. And as you do that, you can slice it to an area of your life, like relationships or work. You can slice it to a time in your life, my teenage years. You could do it just the stuff that's lingering in the background that I'm carrying around and that I just want to work on. So if you'd like to share, what kind of area do you want to, what slice are we going to use tonight? And it could just be all the stuff that's in the background.
I think just out of curiosity, and it's kind of, relationships.
Okay, awesome. Great. So as you tap on the collarbone, what I want you to do in your mind's eye is I want you mm-hmm. to imagine a container of some sort in front of you. And it could be a bowl, it could be a basket, it could be a jar, it could be a hole. What sort of vessel do you imagine?
It's a nice big wicker basket.
Great. And as you tap on the chin, I want you to imagine your subconscious mind filling up that wicker basket with all of these residual issues that you're carrying around about relationships. And as it dumps it in there, it might look like a stack of papers or icons or glass balls. I mean, rubbish. It could be a whole bunch of stuff. And as you tap on the side of the eye, also give the subconscious mind permission to put in all of the known, unknown, and hidden issues related to this. So you don't even have to be aware of some of the issues that are being put in there. So it doesn't even have to create an image for you that gives you a hint to what it is. And as you tap under the nose, is the container big enough to hold all of the things that we're putting into it?
So far it is. It's just like about an eight, that there's a bit of a space at the top.
Great. And so as we go through this, if more information shows up, feel free to grow the container or to bring a second one in that we're not limited to the space that's inside of that.
Okay.
Tippy top of the head and just repeat after me. I give myself permission to ask for exactly what it needs to transform.
I give myself permission to ask for what it needs exactly to transform.
Eyebrow, I give my system permission to release and heal these issues without me knowing what they are.
I give myself permission to, release.
And heal, yeah.
And heal these issues.
Without knowing exactly what they are.
Without knowing exactly what they are.
Side of the eye, I give my system permission to put down the thoughts, tools, and memories.
I give my system permission to put down the thoughts, tools, and memories.
Under the eye that are no longer needed.
That are no longer needed.
If I need to pick them up in the future.
If I need to pick them up in the future.
Because they become useful again.
Because they could become useful again.
I give my system permission to do exactly that.
I give myself permission to do exactly that.
under the arm. If there's any information my system needs me to know in this process, I will know that information.
If there's any information that my system needs to know in this process, I will know that information.
And as you tap on the collarbone and as you imagine this stuff in this container, how did it show up? Did it show up as papers or balls or how do you imagine it in the container?
Well, it's kind of wooden. It's kind of odd different shapes. It's kind of a little bit like bits of Picasso put up in there.
Great. Yeah, that's perfect. And as you tap on the chin and as you tune into that, trusting your instinct, trusting your subconscious mind, how do we transform and remove that? Is this something that gets burned away? Does it get carried off? Does it get transformed? Does it evaporate like morning dew?
Well, initially, I think I pictured a wicker basket so I could have a lovely, beautiful bonfire.
Great. Awesome. And as you tap under the nose and you imagine that thing burning, and it may just burn what's inside and it may burn the basket as well, mm-hmm. how does the bonfire start? Is it a laser? Do you light it? Is it something that just embers naturally burn from the inside? Why don't you just imagine that happening?
Okay.
And as you tap on the side of the eye, what I want you to do is I just want you to imagine it continuing to burn. And when it gets to a point that it plateaus, it might burn itself all the way out, or it might just go as far as we can go. Just let me know when we get to a plateauing point.
Okay. Yeah, it's down nice, beautiful red coals.
Yeah. And as you tap on the chin, now that we have these red coals that are left, what do we do with the red coals? Do they get put out with water? Are they carried away? Are they buried? Are they transformed into something else? What is the useful way to deal with the embers?
Well, initially, I love to watch it because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love the color. And I garnish some warmth from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it dies down, as it's gone, I'm going to use all the coals and to put it into a compost. And I'm going to put it into a garden to nurture new growth.
So as you tap on the side of the eye, just imagine that happening. Just imagine it moving to a place that is useful. Eyebrows, so that compost is used for something useful in the future. And as you tap on the chin, now that we've done that, what's still hanging around? Is there anything left, or does it feel like it is cleared?
I think there are little bits and pieces, but nothing that is, it's like little bits of twigs left over. Little teeny tiny stuff.
Yeah. And as you tap on the side of the eye, what do we do with those teeny tiny twigs? Do they get swept up and carried away? Do they get burned and transformed?
Actually, I'm going to just break them up and put them in with the compost because they're small enough that I think in time that they will break down.
Great. Tippy top of the head, nice big deep breath. And just move from point to point, repeating after me. I thank my system for holding what it thought was useful for me.
I thank my system for holding what I thought was useful for me.
Next point, I thank my system for being willing to heal and transform.
I thank my system for being willing to heal and transform.
I thank my system for always wanting what's for best for me, even if it doesn't always know what is best for me.
I thank my system for knowing what is best for me, even though it may not always know what is best for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice big deep breath. Give me a big stretch. Move around a little bit. Okay. And so what do you notice, Erica, as we go through that?
It was, there was, it was enlightening. It, like, I thought maybe I would have, it would be more dramatic somehow. Mm-hmm. And there was just not the drama. It was just, okay, let's mm-hmm. just put these pieces together and clear them all up. You know, you finally get around to cleaning up the yard or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just a, what is next kind of thing. Something you see needs to be done, and I've been avoiding it, and now, hey, cool.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready to see what's next.
And that's one of the reasons why, as an approach, I like it, is because it's gentle, and sometimes it is more dramatic, and sometimes there is more emotion that comes up, and sometimes it slides through gently like that. So as we went through that, it's pretty straightforward. Of all the tools that we've taught, this is one of the most straightforward. What questions do you have for myself or Erica as someone who experienced it? Or what did you notice as you were tapping along with us, kind of processing our way through this stuff? Just feel free to unmute yourself and go ahead and ask a question. Paula.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, all right. So what I noticed, my container was what you're trying to avoid, the whole big hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
And it was filled with bricks, stones, and branches, and all kind of stuff. And so when I cleared it, I just burned everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the bricks were taken away by construction people to build some buildings, and stones were washed away by the water. So the hole now is clean, but I can't fill it up. It seems like it's gaping hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. If it's okay to leave it like gaping hole, or I should work and try to fill it up with something.
Yeah. So do this for me. Just take a nice big deep breath for me. I want you to tune into that gaping hole. And as you tap on the collarbone, just ask the hole what it needs. Does it need something specific? Does it need to be transformed? Does it need to be left alone? Does it naturally fill up with overgrowth? What does the hole need?
It just doesn't know how to restore the substance.
Yeah.
It needs some help, I think.
Yeah, tippy top of the head and just move from point to point and repeat after me. I recognize the fact.
I recognize the fact.
In this healing process. I've opened up a hole.
I've opened up the hole.
And it was good and useful for me to do that. But because I haven't done that before. I'm not exactly sure what to do next. And my system isn't exactly sure what to do next.
And my system is not exactly sure what to do next.
Because the hole doesn't know what it needs.
Because the hole doesn't know what it means.
But I also recognize the fact.
I have an access to internal wisdom.
And internal guidance. And with time. My system is going to. Gently transform. And gently heal. And even though there is a part of me. That wants an answer for this right now. I give myself. And I give my system. Permission. To gently heal. And to gently figure out the way forward. In its own time. Because my system has all information. And all the wisdom it needs for transformation. Nice big deep breath. And so what do you notice?
I notice it provides some solace and hope that my system will do it in time.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I would do in this particular scenario when I have something like this pop up is tomorrow morning, I would check back in. Tomorrow evening, I would check back in and just, you know, do it the exact same way. Like, you know, there are times where I have like an open wound and I do everything I can right now and it's still a giant open wound. And I've put medicine on it and I've put bandages on it and it's fine. And tomorrow I'm going to see, okay, right, what do you need now? And I'm going to check in it tomorrow evening. What do you need now? And just keep recursively coming back to it and pay attention to what shows up. Because what might show up is new information about an issue that the system right now isn't ready to present. Like, you have gone as far as you can go for transformation for today, and it just needs a little more time before it can do the next step. Or it will slowly, naturally start healing and filling and doing its thing in its own time.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. Awesome. Tony, I see you've unmuted yourself as well.
Yeah. So, okay. So I chose a period of time, like I chose 0 to 7 years.
Yeah.
So am I supposed to presuppose that everything's taken care of? Or I think I got it from her that if something else needs to come up, it'll come up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, and this is true with all transformation, be it when we have all of the details of a story that we're clearing or we're doing something in a metaphorical way, we're doing the amount of healing that the system will allow us to do around that particular thing at this particular moment. Because there are times in which the healing and transformation is all that we can handle. Just because running 10 miles is good, running 100 miles is not 10 times better. And so for me, the goal always when I do work is better. Not perfect, not all, better. And if I keep consistently, persistently taking care of this baggage that I am carrying around, then I'm going to keep unearthing stuff. Because the other thing that might happen is, like, as a metaphor, we might have layers of this stuff. And all I have access to right now is the top layer. And I've cleared that off and it feels great. And when I come back to this 3 days later and I tune into that time period, I'm now one more layer down. And so what I do is, for something like this, if I'm going to go after a time period where there's a lot of stuff, I might decide, you know, 0 to 7, there's a lot of stuff that is in there. Once a week, I do this particular process in that particular area until I get to the point where I'm imagining the vessel and I'm putting stuff in from that time period and nothing shows up. Now, if nothing shows up, it means one of two things. It means one, we've cleared the stuff that is there that needs to be cleared, or two, we've cleared as much as we can from that time period with this particular tool. And using another tool in our toolbox, we might find our way to something else that is happening from that particular time period. So all of the tools that we teach through the course of all of these classes are tools that are useful to a degree. And sometimes we take care of everything in a single shot for a particular thing. And sometimes we use the same tool recursively over time to get it. And sometimes I use tool A for a while, and then I use tool B for a while, and then I use tool C for a while, and then I come back to tool A. And so again, for me, the idea is always better and a little more and better and a little more. Does that make sense, Tony?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so probably what I should do is in another week,
Two days,
do it again.
Yeah.
And just see what comes up.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, again, this is one of my cardinal rules of doing transformation is just approach it with a sense of curiosity. It's a week later. Let's see what's there, because I don't want to be, boy, I hope there's nothing there, because then the work didn't really work. Like, I'm not showing up with a judgment or expectation. It's like, okay, let's see what shows up today. And last time it was a stack of papers. This time it's a bunch of little glass balls. Okay, this is what the system is presenting me today. Awesome. Let's play in the play box, the sandbox a little bit, and let's see what we can come up with.
Okay. All right.
Great. Awesome. Carrie, I see you've unmuted yourself as well.
Yes, thank you. This is more of a comment.
I really
appreciate the fact that you give options and permissions. My system really needs permissions. I've learned that for myself. And if I'm put on the spot for what's going into something, I love the fact that there's options that you've given A, B, C, and D. So if I can just start putting C in because that appeals to me when you say it. And then there's space for, you know, D or F or H to show up.
Absolutely right. Yep. Or anything else. Like, these are some options or something else. And yes. Like, I find it is, you will notice with all of the processes I teach, I'm always doing it with a sense of curiosity, a sense of openness, a sense of wonder, and it's a sense of gentle. Like, that is what I want to do healing-wise, because this is not a battle. What I need to do is because all of my parts are on the same team, they just don't realize it some of the time. And so by doing it in this way, you know, this is the reason why you want me in the room when there's a really contentious meeting going on, because I communicate with other humans in the exact same way. Options, slow, gentle, not pushing. Like, and obviously there are times in life where we need to be forceful and we need to stand up for things. But there are times when we're dealing with things that are delicate, like transformation. Options, gentle, kind is the way to go. And so that's the reason why it's structured that way. And you'll notice, I'm always asking, or what else do you notice? Like, just, and then take whatever is there. You know, all transformation starts by stating with what is. Think about the tapping that we did with Ola when she made her comment. If you go back and you re-listen to that tapping, all I'm doing is I'm just saying, hey, this is exactly what we've noticed. These are the possibilities of what is going on. I give my system the option to choose the one that makes most sense to it, and I'm going to come back and check with you tomorrow. And just approaching it that way. And so dispositionally, the other thing that happens is, like, I love asking for options. I love asking for what my clients are experiencing, because what they're doing is they're building my library of metaphors that I can use in the future. So that if someone comes up with an option that I never would have thought of, I never would have thought of a bunch of parts and pieces, parts that are from Pablo Picasso's Cubist period. Like, that is not something that I would have thought of. And now all of a sudden I have, you know, or it looks like a bunch of artistic squiggles that are just dropping in there. So what has happened is I have just been given one more metaphor that I can use for myself, or one more metaphor that I can use with my clients. And obviously I'm not going to use them all. Like, at a certain point that list gets longer and longer, but it's so nice to have access to them as we step into it in this way. So when we're doing this, I'm paying attention to what my own subconscious mind comes up with, and my clients come up with, so that I can leverage that in the future to do things in new creative ways as well. You know, like I said, when I was talking about teaching, like, all of a sudden I said, oh, we can make the basket bigger or bring more of them in, because I had a client who was frustrated by the fact that it was overflowing. It's like, awesome. Great. That's just something to pay attention to. We just add another step to this.
Thank you.
Cool. You bet. Maria.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask, are you concerned about the container at the end? Do you ask to see the container disappear, or just you just follow the path that the person is taking, and whenever they say enough is enough, it's done?
Typically what happens is I've never actually considered that particular question. So again, process expanding, adding new things. And this is the first time I have ever done this process in which the container was consumed along with the issues as well. Like, in almost every circumstance that I have ever done this, either the vessel carries it off, or the thing happens inside of it and then the container is just left. So depending on personality and disposition and who you're talking to, you know, like, there are people in my life, now that you've mentioned this, when we were doing this, we would do a little tidying up afterwards, because they're only going to be satisfied if we're tidying it up. And so give them the permission. Great. Now that we finish this process, we can add this as a step before we're doing the affirmation at the end of it, that kind of becomes step 6.5. It's like, great. Do we need to do anything with the vessel? Do we need to clean it up? Do we need to put it away? Or is it fine just leaving it as it is? Because you're right, we might find someone going, you know, I would really love to wipe it down and get rid of all of the residue that's out of the inside of it. Because you'll notice the question I did ask is, well, what do we do with the ashes and the ember now that it's left? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't just assume that because it's ash, it's done.
Right.
You know, it can be turned into something. Mm-hmm. One of the things I have done, and this is not something that I would introduce, but I found is a really powerful thing for me. When my father's mother passed away, they took all of the flowers from the funeral and they sent them to a company that compressed the flowers into beads, and they made rosaries out of the flowers. Mm-hmm. And so we all ended up with rosaries from the flowers that were at Grandma Daisy's funeral. And so for me, when I have been doing internal things and I have been left with ash like that, it's not like Erica did an awesome job of turning into compost. Sometimes we get rid of it. I have taken sometimes ash like that because I had that experience in my real life going, oh, wow, I can actually make a memento out of this particular thing. Mm-hmm. The way that some people have urns of loved ones' ashes on their mantelpiece, because that is something of a place of honor for them and it makes sense and it is useful. And so, again, it's your own internal system and what we know about the clients and what's mm-hmm. going on. The other thing I like to do is, okay, now that we've done there, is there anything else we need to do? Mm-hmm. You know, and if they are a person that feels like we need to tidy the space to complete the healing process, you know, like once we get off the line here today, that is exactly what I'm going to do here. Because basically, over the course of the day, detritus and all of that sort of stuff is happening. I'm going to tidy up my papers, and I'm going to put microphones away, and I'm going to pack stuff up because I like walking into a clean workspace tomorrow morning. I make my bed when I get up in the morning for the exact same reason. And so in this particular space, follow the lead of the people you're working with. And if you want to put in step 6.5 and give them that option, and if you show up on Sunday for the class, this is going to be an 8-step process and it's not going to be a 7-step process, as we're going to insert that little guy into the process, because I think it's a beautiful addition as we do this particular thing. Mm-hmm. And again, none of these steps are prescriptive. They're a framework for you to engage with and then turn into the thing that is yours. You know, like I'm not saying this is the way to do it. I'm like, this is the way I have done it in the past, and this is what I've learned. Mold it, make it better, make it useful for you. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you very much for that reflection. I really appreciate that. And like I said, I'm going to add that to the process. Karen, hi.
Hi. I noticed that you didn't get a read on how Erica felt about relationships before you began, so that there was no comparison before and mm-hmm. after. Is that kind of something you do with this, or is...
Yeah. Because of the nature of this particular tool set, we are not necessarily in a circumstance, because we're uncovering things that are unknown and hidden and we're clearing them out. I find it difficult to get a useful read at the beginning of the process, because it's almost like, how do you feel about the stuff that is behind this closed door? Now, you might have a sense of what that is, but the reality is we're not going to get a true sense of, if there's going to be a true sense of intensity, it's probably going to show up in the process. I'm also someone that doesn't use a huge amount of SU scale or SUD scale in my work. If you want to check in at the beginning and do that to see how they feel about that, great. And if we can get something, but with this particular tool, unlike other tools, we have the least amount of emotional information at the beginning. And so at the end, it's like, what do you notice? How do you feel? I probably should have asked a question like, as you tune into this issue, how do you feel now? Do you notice a difference? With her reflection of, oh, that was really gentle and undramatic, I didn't think there was going to be a useful piece of information there, but you're probably right. I missed a step and I could have gotten a little more information, particularly if I wasn't just doing a demonstration, but if this was in the context of a session where it wasn't like just a one-off little contained thing, then my natural practitioner instinct would have kicked in and I would have asked a lot more follow-up questions. What do you notice now as we think of relationships? Why did you think relationships were the place to start? Is that something that you still want to go after now? Like, if we were spending 30 minutes in a client call, I probably would have done all of that stuff naturally. And so I missed it in the demonstration for that reason. So that's a really great question. That's the reason why I didn't do it at the front end. I could have done much more follow-up on the back end for sure.
It seems that we get a lot of information also, though, from when you ask, like, okay, well, what does it look like? When there's a change in what it looks like,
I
get information too. So, yeah.
Great. Yeah. And like, if we were in a situation where, like, it becomes a really different process if the tactic that we try does not impact the metaphor in any particular way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're going to light it and the match keeps blowing out. It's wet wood that's not going to it. Like if there is resistance in the metaphor, then you're right. We're getting information in that particular place, because like the version that we went through with Erica was like the most straightforward version possible of this particular process. Yeah. She had an idea. We had an image. The image transformed in a single step. We did a couple of things to clean up. Nothing dramatic came up. She felt okay at the end.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you're exactly right. If there was resistance inside of that, we would have noticed that. Then there would have been more probing questions. Then, great, what do you notice? Is the things changing? Why is it recalcitrant? What else can we do to it? And then, more than likely, if that were the case, we would go, for me, my approach would be, awesome, ask the pile what it needs to be transformed.
There you go. Yeah.
Because more than likely what happens is, if we're using a method that isn't working, it's because our conscious mind chose something and not our subconscious mind. And our conscious mind was trying to solve the problem. It's a bunch of paper, I burn it. Of course, that's exactly what I do. And in this case, it happened to work. And so that was awesome. But if it's not, then it's like, great, okay, I don't want you to figure this out. And that's the phrase that I use all of the time. Because oftentimes I'll say, well, what do we do? And you like literally see people, like, they're like looking in their brain for the answer. And you can see the eyes roll up into their head like, well, this is the thing. But no, I don't want you to intellectually figure this out. Ask the thing, what does it need? And then that's another way for us to get information about that.
Yeah, great, thanks.
You bet. Any other questions about that particular process? Okay, awesome. If you go into the chat box, I'm going to hit the return key on the right computer. If you go into the chat box on the computer, you can click on that to download the PDF that I just used, or you can go to tappingqa.com/container. And you can print out the PDF of the script that I just went through, or you can pull it up on your screen. Print it out might be a little dramatic this particular moment, but you can print it out in the future after you open it up. What I am going to do is I'm going to send you off into groups of twos or threes to play with this. So if you technologically can't do it or aren't comfortable going into a small group tonight, that's perfectly okay. If you need to step away, that's perfectly okay as well. You'll get the recording of all of this when we're done. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send you into a group of two or three. It's pretty simple and straightforward process. I'm going to give you 21 minutes so you can each try it. If you're in a group of three, so you can be a practitioner, you can be a participant, you can be the person who is watching, just so you can look at it from the outside. There we go. We'll do that. And if for some reason you end up in a small group that only has one person in it, I will shuffle you into another group once I send you off in the various directions, once I see who goes into small groups and who doesn't. So once you're in there, set a timer to keep yourself on track. I will send every 7 minutes, I'll send the little timer to you saying, hey, you need to be ending your group here in just a moment. But those come and go very quickly. And when you're in the midst of doing work, it's easy for you to miss that. Awesome. So any questions before I whoosh you away?
How much time do we have in there?
I'm going to give you 21 minutes so you can do 7, 7, and 7. So you can be practitioner, you can be client, you can be observer, and you can sit in all three seats as you do that. And if you have any technical issues, you can shoot me a little note from there and I'll come and touch base with you. Otherwise, I will see you all in a little more than 20 minutes. Enjoy your time together. I'll see you all shortly. Just click on your little links. And like I said, if you're by yourself, I'll scoot you somewhere else so you have a friend to play with. how was that particular experience? Questions, reflections, what did you notice? I would love to hear what that experience was like. Feel free to unmute yourself and just kind of share your experience if you'd like.
It was very creative. I am very creative.
Absolutely. Yeah, the subconscious mind is pretty awesome when we give it space to come up with useful tools. Like I said, it's a metaphor machine, and when we access that, it becomes really powerful.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave, so thank you so much, okay?
Have a good night, Tony. Thanks for hanging out with us. Other questions, thoughts, reflections? Carrie?
Yeah. So if I'd known we were going to go into small groups, I wouldn't have picked something easy to do for myself during the demonstration. So something huge came up.
Yeah.
And what I liked about the process is that it came to a natural stopping point, so I can Good. Pick it up later.
Awesome.
And everything was taken care of and felt safe. And but I was able to approach something that was huge in a very safe, sometimes going into the emotion, but just allowing that to bubble through and keep going with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the real beauties of a process like this is anytime we start bumping into details, we can just take a deep breath and just go back to the metaphor. You know, exactly. it's my favorite thing in the world is take a nice big deep breath, because two things happen when we do that. One, if I am working with a client and something that has been presented to me that is completely unexpected, it is amazing the amount of thinking that you can do in the time it takes a client to take a deep breath. The Right. other thing that happens is with a deep breath is that when your diaphragm drops, when you do a full deep breath, cortisol levels lower in the body. And so we're actually processing emotion and we're down-regulating emotion when that happens. And so when you're working on your own or you're working with something and you bump into something that feels a little big, tapping and taking a nice big deep breath actually helps to just take a little bit of the edge off that emotion, which gives us a little more stability where we can step back into the metaphor. Or we can go, okay, I'm going to hyper-focus in and go at this particular aspect and I'm going to deal with this particular piece. But it's such a valuable, valuable tool. And I think I've told most of you this before, but I regularly work with high school boys. Like it will be me and an auditorium with 750 high school boys or middle school boys. And I'll get them in the room and I'll go, everybody take a deep breath. And they'll go, and they make a big joke out of it. I'm like, take another deep breath. And they go, I take another big deep breath and I go, because it's literally down regulating the emotional state, which brings us to that place. So when in doubt, when you are in the middle of doing something and you're feeling out of your depth, deep breath, deep breath, deep breath, even if you need to do three of them, it feels natural. If you're working with a client, they don't feel like you're lost, because of course I'm asking you to take a deep breath, because I'm always asking you to take deep breaths. You know, what was the first thing I did in the demonstration? Erica, tap on your collarbone, take a nice big deep breath for me. So I'm setting, like, it is useful, but I'm also demonstrating I'm going to have you do that a lot. So it gives us the way to regather ourselves or someone else when we bump into something that's bubbling up in that way. So I'm glad that it was a safe experience for you. And it's a container that you can then go after stuff again in whatever way that is useful. Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Carrie. Other thoughts or questions about that stuff? No, that's questions about anything else that came percolating ahead. Yeah, Maria.
So from the practitioner point of view, when I was using the PDF, I had to leave. So, leave the screen so I couldn't see the person that I was working with. And so I was just reading from the PDF. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing was at one point she had said something about she felt her heart beginning to race. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, well, just, keep tapping and watch what happens. Keep tapping. And she said, oh, I forgot I stopped tapping. So I couldn't see her. So I didn't realize she'd stop tapping, but I had the awareness to say, just keep tapping. And then that reminded her to continue tapping. So, and then the heart calmed down right away.
Awesome. And the other nice thing is that, you know, after you do this two or three times with something like this, then you're not going to need the PDF anymore. Like, you're going to have a sense of what the steps are. You're going to lean into it. Like, it's going to become really, really natural. And, or if you are going to be using something like this with a client, like, to be in a circumstance where, because I have it printed out, I can look down, I can look up, I can look down, I can look up and navigate things in that particular way. And so, like, yes, this is the, you looking at a script on a screen in a small group on a Zoom room is the most unnatural way you are ever going to tap. And if you can survive in that particular scenario, all the other ones are going to be easy for you to manage. So I'm glad that we were able to figure that out. Good. Thanks for sharing.
But it's also nice to have that scenario just step by step by step by step. And, you know, the subconscious just kept creating. So giving information, it was beautiful. Yeah. So.
Yeah. If us EFT practitioners were smart, we would all be writing children's books after taking advantage of all of these magical little things that people are creating in their head when we're using imagery like this sort of stuff. Awesome. Other thoughts or questions or anything else that I can share to be helpful this evening or this morning? Donna.
I have been doing these art of delivery for a few months, and I really found that as a practitioner, this one was kind of the most organic for me to follow just in this evening. Not that I couldn't do the others, but this one just seemed to have a nice flow to it.
And I'm wondering if part of that is like, this is the least structured of all of the ones on first. Well, again, I'm wondering if there's two things. One is like, you are getting used to the way that I come up with processes. And so they're becoming a little more natural just because, you know, you and I have known each other for a long time, you know, but getting like more into the rhythm of like step by step. Mm-hmm. And the other is like, I, of all the processes I think I've taught, this is the simplest one in the 6 months that we've done, where it really is about creating that organic space. Like, here's a tiny little framework, go play. And so the fact that it felt most comfortable in that way, I'm sure that's a consequence of that as well, because this is the most freewheeling when it comes to letting the subconscious mind play, which gives you more latitude to do your personality inside of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So I loved it.
Good. Awesome. Thank you for that feedback. I appreciate that. Cool. Well, as a reminder, Sunday noon Eastern time, we're going to come back and we're going to do all of this goodness again with a slightly amended process, as it is now an 8-step process instead of a 7-step process. And that will truly be the case. So you will notice that when I upload the PDF to the website where you can do the downloads of the videos and all of that sort of stuff, you will get the updated version of that with the 8-step process. The video next week, the slides will reflect that instead of what we did here, but you know how to add that little additional step that Maria came up with for us this evening. A week from Sunday, I'm gonna teach you how I do Zoom stuff. We got about 40 people signed up. Actually, 3 EFT masters of the original founding masters have signed up for the class, some friends of mine. We're going to spend about 3 hours. It's going to be a really good time. Again, for those of you who are in parts of the world who cannot join us in the middle of a Sunday afternoon here in the States, the entire thing will be recorded. You will get access to it within 24 hours if you sign up, and I will answer any questions over email after the fact to help you to navigate all of that stuff. So for those of you who are already in tomorrow, know that you can join us if you would like to do that particular thing. As always, Gene@tappingqa.com. Let me know how I can be helpful for you. I will see you Sunday. I will see you next month. I'll see you a week from Sunday. I'll see you somewhere. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight or this morning, wherever you are in the world. And I'll talk to you guys real soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.